We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, Brandon Peoples and Dave Lewis, joined by Cheryl Collins. She's the director of the Riley County Historical Museum. We're talking holiday traditions today and what people do each year for their holiday traditions. And, radio is a big part of that here. And we're our radio station getting ready to celebrate our 70th anniversary in 2020. Of course, KMAN came around 1950, right about the era of the golden age of radio. And, a lot of folks, I don't know what KMAN played back in those days. Dave, you might have a little more knowledge to that than I do.
We went on the air, and by the way, 2020 will mark our 70th anniversary.
Yes, that's a great milestone.
I really don't know what we had on the air.
We'll have to
in terms of
that
Christmas
out.
Programs, and I'm sure we can probably find some folks that can help us out with that. But I kind of have an idea of what KMAN was and what we did back in those days, and became a lot more familiar with it in the latter, in the 80s.
We'll look forward to looking at that.
There was music on the radio a lot back in those days, and then with so many FMs, and that kind of changed.
Right. So it's evolved over time.
It has.
But I think it's interesting because it's still so central in people's lives. And I think we'll continue.
Well, the key is being local.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if you're a radio station and you don't have an emphasis on being local, you're missing out on a great opportunity.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah. Okay. Anyway, Jack Benny?
We have some Jack Benny here. This is from 1944, Christmas Eve 1944 program. He's talking about trimming the tree here. We'll play a little tidbit of that. This should be great.
Starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Larry Stevens, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Tis the night before Christmas, and at Jack Benny's house, there are presents for all, even cheese for the mouse. Jack is up on a chair, then he's down on his knee. But you have to do that when you're trimming a tree.
Well, we're all through, Mary. Gee, it was nice of you to come over and help me trim the tree.
Well, if I didn't, you'd never get it done. Say, Jack, shall I put the snow around the bottom now?
Not yet. I want to see if the lights are working. I'll hold up the bulb, and then when I say ready, you plug it in.
Okay. Ready?
Ready. Pull it out! Pull it out! Pull it out! My goodness.
Oh, Jack, why did you make me shut it off? Those lights were so pretty, especially those two blue ones that kept flashing on and off.
Those were my eyes. Must have been holding on to a bare wire.
Well, it's your own fault. Every time you fool around with electricity, something goes wrong.
It does now. I know plenty about electricity.
Oh, sure. Remember what happened 2 years ago when you fixed your doorbell?
What happened?
I pushed the button and it burned down Crosby's house.
Oh, stop exaggerating. Anyway, hand me that roll of tape. Give me that tape. I'll fix this bare wire right now.
Here you are.
Thanks. Comes to electricity, I know what I'm doing. See, when you see a bare wire, you just tape it up like this. And that way it's insulated against outside elements. There, that ought to be enough tape. All right, Mary, plug it in.
Okay.
Pull it out! Pull it out! Pull it out! For heaven's sake.
What happened, Jack?
I taped my finger to the wire.
Oh,
my. What happened?
Oh, gee. And that time it is even prettier than before.
What do you mean?
Your nose lit up, too.
It did not. Let's get this tree finished before the gang gets here.
But, Jack, what about the light?
We'll have to let that go until later. Now, hand me one of those.
Oh, Mr. Benny!
What is it, Rochester?
I baked that cake like you told me to.
Good. Did you have enough whipped cream to spell out Merry Christmas on top?
Yeah. Say, boss, how many R's in Merry?
Two.
Oh.
So you better add one.
Add one? I better cross one out. I got three.
Well, leave it. It's better than ruining the cake.
Okay.
Oh, Rochester, will you please take these Christmas tree lights and fix them?
Fix them?
Yes.
I ain't fooling around with electricity.
Now, what are you afraid of?
I ain't gonna get hit by nothing I can't hit back.
Oh, Rochester. Imagine being afraid of electricity. Suppose Robert Fulton was afraid of electricity. He never would have invented the electric light. Would he?
Jack, you're thinking of Thomas Edison.
Edison? Well, then, what did Robert Fulton do?
He said, don't give up the ship.
That was John Paul Jones. Now, let's not start that again. Now, Rochester, please fix these lights, will you?
Okay, okay. Let's see. Now, in electricity, there's the electrons and the electrodes. Then there's the positive and the negative. But I ain't positive which one is negative. Then there's the atoms. Now, the atoms are supposed to go from the positive to the negative. Or maybe they go from the electrons to the electrodes. Then again, maybe they go from Natchez to Mobile.
Rochester.
Now, as long as these atoms keep passing each other, everything is all right.
Yeah.
But when they meet halfway and start fighting, they're going to turn on anybody who tries to butt in.
Rochester, I'm not interested in the scientific details. I just want you to fix those lights. And I promise you, while you're holding the wires, no one in this room will turn on the switch.
I know, boss. While I'm holding the wire, you ain't going to turn on the switch. And Miss Livingston ain't going to turn on the switch.
Of course not.
But way up there at Boulder Dam is a little man sitting in a room with thousands of wires around him.
What?
How do I know he ain't going to do something just to break the monotony?
Oh, all right. I'll fix it myself. Go back in the kitchen. Come in.
I'm looking for Mr. Benny. Mr. Jack Benny.
Me?
Yes.
But you're a policeman.
Well, now, what do you know? This blue uniform has given me away again.
But, but, officer. Mary, say something.
But, officer.
Is that all you can say?
That's all you said.
Now, officer.
Mr. Benny, I hate to be doing this to you on Christmas Eve, but I have a complaint about you disturbing the peace last week at Moore's department store.
At Moore's department? Oh, that! Well, officer, that wasn't my fault at all. You see, first I had trouble with some crazy floor walker who kept hollering, stop breathing on my carnation. And then...
A little slower, please. I'm writing it down.
Yes, sir.
How many R's in carnation?
One. And then some silly guy kept following me around, asking me what I thought I ought to buy his wife for Christmas. Now, I didn't mind it the first time or the second time, but he kept hounding me. And just before the real trouble started, I was standing by the perfume counter... When all of us... I was trying to buy some perfume for my sister, Florence.
Here's your change, dear.
Thank you. Come on, Mary. Let's get over
to... I beg your pardon, mister.
Oh, it's you again.
What do you think I ought to buy my wife for Christmas?
I told you before, I don't know what you should buy your wife for Christmas. Figure it out yourself.
Figure it out yourself, he says. Figure it out yourself. Fine Christmas spirit.
Look, I don't care what you buy your wife for Christmas. Don't buy her anything.
Don't buy her anything? We've been married for 12 years. What are you trying to do? Break us up?
Look, I don't know your wife. I've never seen your wife.
What's going on here? What's the trouble?
That man's been caught stealing somebody's wife.
What?
At your age, you gray-haired wolf?
Now, wait a minute.
One time. Let me through.
What's going on here? What's going...
Oh, it's you, my little Choopy with the droopy toopy.
Now, cut that out and don't blame me for this because it's...
Stop breathing on my carnation.
I'll breathe on it as much as I like. You're darn right on that, and this is all your fault. Mister asked me to buy your wife a Christmas. For all I care, you can buy her a dog collar.
What size?
What size? There you are, folks. See what a crazy guy is, and you blame me. Why, it's not my fault. I'm not the type that would start trouble. I'm a peaceful home...
Shut up!
Oh, come on, Mary. Let's get out of here. And that's exactly what happened, officer. Believe me.
By golly, it's amazing. It sounds like something you'd hear on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, I'm convinced it wasn't your fault, and I'm going to forget all about this complaint and be wishing you folks a Merry Christmas.
The same to you, officer.
And a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Say, Mary, he was a nice fella at that.
Yes, he was.
Now, come on, Mary, let's put the presents around the tree before the gang gets here.
So nice little clip there. Trimming the Tree, Christmas Eve, 1944, Jack Benny Show. What a funny show that was.
Jack Benny was really funny.
You know, and that was such a challenging time because people looked to radio that was a key component of information during the war.
Right.
And then you had so many of these programs that basically did whatever they could to enlighten the mood of people that were back here at the States and concerned about their loved ones. And, by the way, and today is the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge. Today is. And so, you think about, 75 years ago, the impact that radio made, and the ability for that to continue today. Is amazing.
This would have been occurring. This radio show we just heard, which was in 1944, that would have been occurring then.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, right around that time.
Yep.
Okay. Very.
And we probably really didn't know much about the Battle of the Bulge until after it was done.
Right. Right.
Because you just didn't have that kind of communication and access, electronically like what we have now. But that was such a pivotal time for radio. Of course. FDR speech at after Pearl Harbor,
right?
And that was one that obviously is going to continue forever. That's one of those legacy comments, and the history of radio parallels with the history of the United States,
right?
Since radio came in, a little over 100 years ago,
because that's the memory that people have of that history. That's where.
Yeah.
They learned of it.
Yeah.
So, yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I remember my mom telling a story about her and my grandfather being in a store when they heard about the attack on Pearl Harbor on the radio that was on in the store. And, the impact that made on them, that was just, it was obviously similar to what, if you weren't alive then, it would be parallel to what we felt when the Twin Towers were struck.
Right.
Maybe more so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's take our final break.
All right. Sounds good.
This has been fun, guys.
I agree.
Been.